Today, right now, on VFN TV, we have Art Thomas with us talking about his 40-day paid in full activation and the healing ministry manual. It is so exciting. We're seeing these things take place in our lives. We're seeing it take place in others' lives. We want it to take place in your lives today, right now, on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining us today is Art Thomas with Art Thomas Ministries. Hey, Art, how you doing, man?
Doing great. Thanks for having me back.
I'm so excited to have you on again. You know, since you last have been on, we had a chance of being able to take the 40-day, you know, paid in full activation manual for healing ministry, and it is powerful. It's basic. You know, it's the Word of God put out in a certain way. I mean, God obviously has given a grace to you guys to be able to produce this in the time that you produced it. But so how are things going with you first? Talk to us about what's happening.
Things are going great. I've been traveling a lot. This past Sunday, I was in Quincy, Michigan. We had the people praying for each other at the end of the meeting.
Right.
One woman had a deaf ear for 31 years open up.
Praise God.
Another woman had breast cancer and the lump and all the pain disappeared.
Praise God.
Yep. We had, in the morning service, there was a woman who had hypothyroidism, and she had goiters all around her neck.
Yes.
And while we were praying for her, they started to shrink, and she was amazed because she could put her head down and swallow, which normally if she was looking at her phone, she'd have to tip her head way up and swallow so that she could get it.
Right.
But she could swallow then, and they were shrinking more. And then by the evening service, they were almost totally gone. So
praise
continuing
God.
To shrink. Yeah. So we didn't
exciting.
Get to see them all the way gone, but it was pretty cool seeing that. Her husband was shocked. That was fun.
Right. Yes, yeah. Yes. Well, you know, since we started walking through, you know, paid in full, we've got to see, you know, several miracles where God's healed a rotator cuff in the shoulder.
Awesome.
That's been for like 2 or 3 years in pain. Back, an ear, a major ear infection that seemed, it was, they described it almost like labor pains. It was so bad in her ear, and a carpal tunnel syndrome. And God's just the healer, isn't he?
Isn't he? Yeah.
That's so exciting, man. But, yep. You know, this, I mean, I want to encourage everyone, if you haven't yet, you know, got this book, you need to go and get it. It is so powerful. We're going to be talking about this today and hopefully in tomorrow's program as well. But it's brilliant because you're like, I'm going to walk into and learn about this healing. And the first thing, of course, you begin to learn about is yourself and God and the importance of forgiveness and grace and how much he loves us. And I mean, this is an awesome journey for people to be able to go on. And it's just God touched you guys with a grace to
Thanks.
Do it. And now I really know because the time frame y'all did it, that is God. That's how God does it, right? It's just like a download,
yeah.
You know, all of a sudden.
Yeah, we were cranking at the end there to get all our products out in time for the movie launch. And so we had a month to write it. And
wow.
There it was, yeah, cranked
wow.
it out.
It is beautifully done. It's biblically
Thanks.
Correct. And you write it in such a grace. There's such a grace to you in your presentation of the gospel. And, you know, if you go back and you study those, like you did, John G. Lake and other ones, and you think, man, that was pretty harsh. And they're blaming everybody for everything instead of taking ownership, you know. And I
yeah.
love the way that, you know, when you take ownership, you walk in fear and trembling.
Mm-hmm.
When you cast off, you know, the consequences of your behavior and others, you know, you don't worry about anything.
Yeah.
And it was just so authentic. And I'd like to be able to talk about it because there's a couple things to talk about. Now, one of the first thing you start talking about, which I think is really important, is, you know, is healing really for everyone?
Uh-huh.
You know, is it really for everyone? Because there's so many myths, there's so many justifications, and the adversary is just lined up to be able to agree with everything that we go with. So talk about that a little. That's the first thing that you talk about addressing in the book. Is healing really for everyone?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first you've got the scripture side of things, right?
Right.
You've got Mark 16, 17 and 18, where Jesus said, it's chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, where Jesus said, these signs will accompany those who believe. And the last sign of the list is they will put their hands on the sick and they will recover. So that's, I mean, some people don't like the Mark 16 one because it's not in all manuscripts.
Right.
But something that is in all manuscripts is John 14:12, where Jesus said, everyone who believes in me will do the same things I've been doing. In fact, greater works
things
than these will he do.
Wow.
And if you look in the context, he's talking about the miracles.
Right.
He's saying, if you don't believe me, believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves, right?
Right, right.
So so that's the scripture side. And I mean, there's so much more scripture that mm-hmm. backs it up too, but those are the really solid ones. It's for everyone who believes in him that'll do the same things.
Right.
And then we've also got the anecdotal side now, mm-hmm. where, you know, we're going to all these places. You know, in the last 4 years, I've witnessed roughly 3,000 miracles.
3,000
yeah,
miracles. Praise
yeah.
God.
But the vast majority of those didn't happen through my hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going into a church. I'm teaching everybody how to do this, turning them loose on each other. Like all the testimonies I just shared from that church,
right.
with the exception of the thyroid goiters,
mm-hmm.
right? I didn't touch those people. The
right.
deaf ear that opened up, it was just one of the ordinary guys in the church, and he
Praise
comes
God.
Up to me
That's
afterward
awesome.
And he goes, I can't believe it. It works.
That's awesome. That's
yeah.
awesome.
It's for everybody.
Yeah, and so, you know, that this and the thing I think, too, the angle that so often the human nature, we look at things, we're so focused just on the problem versus God who loves us.
Yeah.
Wants us to be well, and he wants to mm-hmm. demonstrate, you know, his love for us. And the next thing you talk about is the price Jesus paid. I mean, you
yeah.
talked about that, the price Jesus paid for us. And you were quick to say, you know, your sins, he paid for your sins. You know, your sins
uh-huh.
are covered, you know. And then a lot of people just stop there, right?
Yep.
And so
yep.
talk to us a little about, you know, everything that was paid for on the cross by
yeah.
the Lord Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot behind it, and
yeah.
we could talk a lot about that one, but... First and foremost, you've got Isaiah 53, which is kind of the classic atonement passage. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and by his stripes we are healed. And actually, if you look that up in the Greek, or actually if you use the Amplified Bible, it says he was wounded for our transgressions. And in parentheses there, it talks about our sicknesses, weaknesses, infirmities. If you look up in Matthew 8, when Matthew is talking about all the sick being brought to Jesus, and he's laying hands on all of them and healing them all, it says this was to fulfill, this was in fulfillment of the prophet's words, that he bore our sickness.
Right.
And that was actually a quote of that passage. So when we say, surely he's borne our griefs, Matthew says that's about sickness, and it's in the context of physical healing. So there is this this camp of people who will say, well, when it says by his stripes we're healed, it's talking metaphorically about our forgiveness, our spiritual healing, not our physical healing. The Hebrew word there is Rapha,
mm-hmm.
Which is the first descriptive name of God, Jehovah Rapha.
Right.
He is the Lord our healer. And if you look that up in the Old Testament, it's used multiple times. The vast majority, it always means physical healing.
Right.
There are about, I think it's four or so cases where it clearly does mean forgiveness.
Right.
There's a few cases that it's unclear on. Some it's metaphorical healing.
And a lot of times those are together. Forgiveness
yeah,
and healing
yeah.
come together, which is easier
yeah.
for me to say.
And that's exactly
yeah,
it.
Be
so
healed.
What you've got is forgiveness, healing. Rapha is this all-encompassing word
right.
that refers to physical, spiritual, emotional salvation.
Right.
And wholeness is really a better term.
Right.
And the same thing happens in the Greek with this word soteria, which we use as salvation.
Mm-hmm.
It can also be translated health. And the Greek word sozo, which is about, it's translated save,
mm-hmm.
is sometimes translated heal or make whole. So you see that used in healing passages, in forgiveness passages. Not only that, you brought up the paralytic, right?
Right, he
was lowered
yeah.
through the roof at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus looks at the man and says, son, your sins are forgiven.
And they were
and
insulted,
course,
weren't they? They were all insulted.
Bingo.
They were all insulted.
All thinking, you know, he can't do that. No one
yeah.
can forgive sins but God, right?
Right, right.
So Jesus looks at them and he says, which is easier to say? To say to this man, your sins are forgiven, or get up, take your mat, and go home?
Right.
Now, technically, to the listeners, to those mm-hmm. who were hearing his words, both were impossible
mm-hmm.
because no one could forgive sins but God.
Right.
So to say which is easier was kind of a trick question in their minds. Like, you know,
right.
they're both impossible. How can you say which is easier? But on top of that, if we were to kind of layer this a little, if I say to you, your sins are forgiven, there's no way anybody knows whether or not that worked. You know, it could just be empty words.
Yes.
But if I say, get up, take your mat, and go home, either it works or it doesn't, and it's going to happen in front of everybody.
Right.
So there's there is a social difficulty for
that. Yes, yes.
But Jesus says, to prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, get up, take your mat, and go home.
Wow.
If forgiveness and healing were not linked, that would not have been proof.
Wow. Yeah.
See, if his authority to forgive and his authority to heal were not the same, then he couldn't have said that my authority to heal is proof of my authority to forgive. Right. So there is this intimate link, and over throughout Scripture, you see healing and forgiveness mentioned together. You see it in Psalm 103, praise the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
James 5, when it talks about the prayer of faith, it says the prayer of faith will make the sick person well, the Lord will raise him up. If he's sinned, he'll be forgiven.
Right.
Right? And where did that come from? Well, it was, you know, it's part of the package. I like to say the blood of Jesus is messy. You get a little on you for one thing, it's there for the rest.
Awesome.
Right?
Totally awesome. I think about this. I know we got to go to a break, but you talk about, you know, Jehovah Rapha. That was when God was bringing Israel out of captivity, out of the bondage of slavery. They're coming through the Red Sea and they're in this desert, and he wants to reveal himself in the midst of bitterness. Bitter waters, and they missed it. They totally missed that God could fix the waters. You know, he could fix it. And they took a stick, right? He took the stick and put it into the water, and it made it drinkable. But he said that's what he's wanting to reveal himself as healer. That was the first revelation coming out of Israel, wasn't it? Out of Egypt.
Yeah. And when he specifically used the name Jehovah Rapha, it was in reference to being set free and whole, safe from all of Egypt's diseases.
I mean, that is exciting. We'll be right back in just a moment after this break. I'm so excited to finish talking about more from R. Thomas.
We'll be right back.
From the Gutenberg Press to now bringing the Bible to more than 6 billion people.
More than 1,000 additional language translations next year. Over 2,000 additional in the next 5 years.
Catapulting the impact of the Bible into the digital age in one easy-to-access location.
Biblica, Wycliffe Bible Translators USA, and the American Bible Society together provide 90% of Bible translations in the world. And they're working together in forming ETEN, Every Tribe and Every Nation, in a digital Bible library.
The Digital Bible Library is making the Bible accessible to millions on a multitude of digital platforms in what Wycliffe Bible Translator CEO Bob Creason calls another Gutenberg moment. Bible deprivation will cease when every tribe and every nation in the world has access to this book of books in their heart language.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking with Art Thomas. Art, this is so encouraging just thinking about the first revelation that the Father God, the creator of all things, wanted to reveal to his people, his chosen people, was that I'm your healer. I want to heal you. You know, I'm your doctor. I'll take care of all of that, you know, with Jehovah Rapha. You know, here we are, you know, before we go to the next thing, I'm thinking about, you know, in your book, and we're talking about the paid in full 40-day activation menu. You've got to get this. You've got to get it. It's going to bless your heart and activate you in what God's called us to do. You know, here, I couldn't imagine, Art, you know, that, you know, Pentecost happens, the church is birthed, and these signs happen, and people are healed, and you know, just great things happen. And all of a sudden, everybody goes back in their house and turns on their cable and just goes off into their sports and gets lost in their hobbies. I mean, what are you seeing? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And, you know, as Francis Chan writes in his book, Crazy Love, about being obsessed with God. I mean, we got to be just, you know, what are you finding out? You know, it's because your desire is like our desire is to activate Christians and be in the church that God's called us to be.
Yeah.
You know, wherever you go. So what are you finding in regards to that? Because you can get, I mean, he always does what he says he's going to do, but what do we do with what he does? Does that make sense?
A message that's been on my heart recently that I actually just preached Sunday morning, and it's on my podcast if anyone wants to hear it. But based on this premise that the wise and foolish builders, right? This parable Jesus told. And we've all, some people think that the wise man builds his house on the rock, which is what Jesus said. And when the rain came, the house stood firm. The foolish man built his house on sand. When the floods came, it just fell apart, right?
Right.
And a lot of people think that the rock represents either Jesus or the Word, but it actually doesn't. If you look it up in Luke 6, what Jesus said is, you know, why do you call me Lord and you don't do what I say?
Yes.
And he said, anyone who hears my words and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock, and when the rains came, it stood firm. But the one who hears my word and doesn't put it into practice is like the man who builds his house on the sand, and when the rains come, it falls apart. So both builders had the word.
Right.
And I think that's what's happened in a lot of the American churches. We've got this saturation with the word,
yeah.
And we think that because we are, you know, feeding ourselves on this stuff, that we are therefore on solid ground.
Right.
But your solid ground in that parable is not the word.
Right.
The solid ground is your response to, your obedience to the word, putting it into practice. You were designed for action.
Right.
So, you know, I've noticed, you know,
that's
when
powerful
when,
what you're saying. Oh, that's very
true.
I know it's so true. That is so
don't
true.
Be hearers of the word only, but be
doers
right?
Or and deceived.
Faith without works is dead.
He calls merely deceived.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we got to break out of that so we're not deceived.
Exactly.
Wow.
So when Jesus gave the Great Commission and ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father, he didn't intend for his disciples to then get down on their knees and say, Lord, would you please save the lost?
Right. Yes.
No, he intended for them to go. Mm-hmm. And so in Matthew 10:8, when he said to his disciples, heal the sick,
right.
He didn't intend for them to ask the Father to heal the sick, right?
Right,
he intended
right.
for them to go. So, and for that matter, just as you said, he didn't right. intend for us to go, you know, sit back and just relax and coast through life and
right.
and hope that someday someone will like our lifestyle and ask us questions about Jesus,
yes.
right?
Right.
Like it is go into all the world, make disciples. The
right.
action in those verses is on my part.
Right.
I'm supposed to go, not let the world come to you. You go.
Right.
Not let them, by osmosis, slowly become
right.
disciples. No, you go and make disciples.
It's the go-y church, not the come-y church.
That's it.
Yeah.
And in Matthew 28, the often overlooked portion of that is, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey
yeah.
everything I've commanded
everything.
You.
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Which includes Matthew 10:8,
right.
heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, drive out demons.
Right.
Freely you've received, freely give. So
wow.
this is, you know, my job as a minister of the gospel is to teach you to obey
right.
the teachings of Jesus and to his commands, his commission to go into all the world, to heal the sick, to
right.
raise the dead and all those things. That's who we are. It's what we're commissioned to do.
Right.
And one of my favorite passages, James 1, verse 22, when it says, don't just be hearers of the word, be doers, right?
Mm-hmm.
It continues from there, and he says, anyone who hears the word and doesn't do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So that means when you hear the word of God, he's telling you what you look like.
Right.
He says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Right.
He says that, you know, Paul said, Galatians 2:20, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me.
Right.
Ephesians 2:6, that I am right now seated on the throne with Jesus in the heavenly realms. 1 Corinthians 6, I'm united with him in spirit. You know,
right.
so there are these realities. And if I walk away and live any differently,
right.
then I've forgotten what I look like.
Wow.
You are able to heal the sick because
right.
Christ is in you. You are seated on the throne with him. His spirit dwells in you.
Right.
The anointing you've received abides in you, right?
Right, right.
So we're able. And if we don't go out and do this stuff, it's simply because we've forgotten what we look like.
Wow.
We have to put what we've heard into practice. Don't forget what you look like.
I like what you say, too, is I quit asking Jesus to do what he told me to do.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, but it's almost like people are offing their responsibilities on others, what God's called us to do. How does that balance out at the throne room? I mean, how does that balance out when we spend our whole life expecting other people to do what we didn't do, or we were too afraid or too fearful or too ashamed to bring Jesus up? Because I know that, I think it was James, maybe it was right in the book, he talks about he went back to his workplace and people started making fun of him. And he still asked for, he still believed for healing.
Yep.
And then the people that made it in front of him eventually came over and said, okay, pray for me. And God healed this man who made it in front of him right there in the office,
yep.
the thing that was going on with him. And I mean, you have confrontations in life mm-hmm. when you go out, right? I mean, but that's actually not a bad thing. He says this is a good thing, right? In right. God's eyes, right?
Right. Well, Revelation 12:11 gives us this key for how to overcome Satan. Mm-hmm. And it is by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and that they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Right. Now, here in America, we've got it easy, you know.
Right now.
We're not suffering. Yeah.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah, right.
And we're not suffering and under threat of death like a lot of our brothers and sisters are overseas.
Right.
But, you know, to not love your life so much as to shrink from death kind of encompasses a lot of other things,
mm-hmm.
like to not love your life so much as to shrink from losing your job,
very
or
good.
To not love your life so much as to shrink from, you know, your family members being upset with you or losing friends or anything like that. So
that's very appropriate. That's the real deal.
True.
It's like, I'm
going
to lose my wife. I'm going to lose my kids,
yeah.
my parents, my
yeah.
job, my money.
Yep.
You know, my house, my things, my stuff. The rich young ruler uh-huh. felt that way, and he walked away from Jesus. Jesus
exactly.
still loved him, but yet yep. he walked away from God because he yep. had many things. He chose
yep.
his things over God.
Yep.
Wow.
In fact, something else I've been preaching recently mm-hmm. is, you know, you've got a lot of folks, going back to Revelation 12:11, mm-hmm. you've got a lot of folks who are like, man, I just feel like the devil's got the upper hand. He's just piling all this stuff on me. And this isn't always the case, but my first go-to place now is to say, when's the last time you shared your testimony without concern for the consequences?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Revelation 12:11 says that's how you overcome Satan.
Yeah.
So if you feel like you're under the enemy, you
yes.
need to get him under your feet. And the way you do that is through action.
Yes.
You know, the wise and foolish builders, the rain came to both of them.
Right.
This flood came to both. But the one who was putting what he heard into action is the one who stood firm. So, you know, trials are going to happen.
Right.
In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart because I've overcome the world. If I'm walking in action, then I am in the overcoming role of Jesus. I am partnering with him in his victory.
Right.
And that means I get to overcome even the flood that's trying to overcome me.
Yes.
So, you know, that's what we're called to, is to put this into action. Go heal the sick. Go make disciples. Right. Preach the gospel. Love people. Represent Jesus to them. In this world, we are like him.
That's so powerful. First, I'm going to go to a break, but I've seen people, when they finally say their real testimony, I mean, it's almost the oppression comes off of them.
Uh-huh.
I saw one particular person that their face just lifted up when they
yeah.
finally said, I'm bad. I was really
yeah.
bad.
<You know? laughs>
yeah. And then we all are. That's the fact that we say we're Christians means we realize that we needed a Savior. We needed to be saved
yeah.
from ourselves and
yeah.
saved from our sins.
We'll be right back. This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
The ability for abstract reasoning is diminishing in our time. When you really start with a minor premise and a major premise, build a syllogism and enter into a deduction, the average person loses you halfway through because they have come to their conclusions on the basis of images prior to that, and the capacity for abstract reasoning has been gone. And I believe Jacques Ellul, the French sociologist dealing with technology, is right when he entitles our ability to perceive today as a process where there has been a humiliation of the word. The exaltation is in images. The humiliation has taken place in the written process.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org. Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
It took a lot of dying processes over the years, I'm sure, to be able to get to this point. And we appreciate your deaths. It was just
it's
a sweet fragrance. Yeah. Yeah. May he rest in peace. So, we just talked about, you know, two parts of the manual. And I want to talk about this next part, but also just want to reiterate that, you know, healing is for the fullness of everything that the Word of God says we are, is who we are and what we do. And it's called being merely deceived if we just learn and learn and learn. I remember when God called me out from where I was, like you were an associate somewhere, and I was ministering with my spiritual father. And it got to a point, if I heard one more message, I was like, I could really feel like I was choking on the words because I was so full of the word. And the Lord was just telling me, you're going to have to give this out. You know, you can't take in any more. You're going to have to start giving it out. And the more I gave it out, the better things got.
Yeah.
And it's can you imagine how the church just going with what they, that's what we're believing for, just activating the body of Christ. You know, with that, with that comes the next part of your manual where it talks about, or you wrote about the process of times when there seems to be nothing happening, processing that. I love that, processing it. I love the way you think, and 'cause that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people just shut down, stop, or whatever, versus one man told me, he says, I never lift my experience above what my faith in God and what God says.
Yeah.
You know, years ago you told me that. So talk to us about that a little bit.
Yeah, we do need, processing is probably the best word I could come up with.
It's good.
Of what happens, you know, somebody's not healed and we're trying to figure out what to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, down in the valley, this dad brings his son to the rest of the disciples and tells them about this tragic story of this demon that's been throwing his son into, you know, fire and water, trying to kill him with seizures, right? And they gave it their best shot, and it didn't work. And, you know, this is the only place in the Bible where we can find someone trying to minister healing in Jesus' name, and it didn't work. And so Jesus, Peter, James, and John come off the mountain, and in one of the gospel accounts, it says he found them arguing with the teachers of the law that were there.
Right.
So it's like, you know, I think it was Jonathan who co-authored the book. I heard him say one time, you know, anytime there's a lack of results, it results in arguments.
Wow.
You know, we tend to try to placate our hurt emotions and the fact that we feel uncomfortable and that our expectations weren't met.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to dodge responsibility. We want to feel more comfortable again. I've noticed that as Americans, we tend to highly value numbness. It's like the slightest bit of discomfort, you take a pill, you know?
Yes.
And it's like, it's like, unless I'm just numb to the world around me, I'm not happy or comfortable.
Right.
When, you know, sometimes we need that discomfort. Sometimes it's actually good. I heard a story one time about a guy who didn't have a sense of touch and ended up burning his hand because he didn't realize it was burning. You know,
right.
It's like you have to be sensitized to things that are not right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes, you know, Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Yes.
So it's like there's someone you've been praying for, and the healing hasn't come, and it hasn't come, and it hasn't come. And it's the hope that you're expecting, the healing, is being put off and put off and put off until finally your heart's sick. And then that person dies, and you're like, man, I really blew it, or someone blew it. And we decide, you know, our heart is hurting so bad, and our heart is sickened by that experience. We start to form a theology out of the hurt and the sickness rather than out of the life and ministry of Jesus.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at vfntv.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.